today is Monday, August the 18th. It's Fair Day the 18th. What's today? Freebie Day, I think. I think it's Freebie Day. If not, well, tough. 223rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Vice President now, eh?
Senior
Vice President. Does that mean you're getting...
older.
Advanced.
More mature, Brian.
There we go. There. Oh, you're having to pull out the mature card already, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Redwood Capital Bank, Jennifer Budwig and her zebra glasses.
As I was telling Brian, it's because I work in a zoo, which is why I need my zebra glasses. That and the senior thing. Can't see without them.
You know, you keep bringing that up, don't you?
Mm-hmm. It's a reality.
Fine, and she keeps looking at my way when she says that, too. This is getting a little uncomfortable. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about, we'll get some updates on economic development, some of the things that Jennifer's seeing in the area. We'll get a little bit of a push, little discussion point, if you will, about Measure V, as we're dealing in the second half of the alphabet this go-around, and also health care. I'm just reading the notes as they're given to me, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig. But before we do our quote this afternoon, boy, let's see. There's so many choices here. What topic would you like to have a quote under? Let's see if I can find one. I was going with women, and all I was going to do was get in real deep trouble fast. So.
Ooh, self-improvement. You just passed it.
Self-improvement. Oh, yeah. You can see your eyes aren't that bad. You got your glasses off, and you still saw that. Okay, self-improvement.
Not sex education. We'll skip
that. Not self-esteem, but self-improvement.
There we go. Oh, self-importance.
Oh. All right. Let's see. Comes from Mary Lyon in 1953. Quote, 9/10 of our suffering is caused by others not thinking so much of us as we think that they ought to.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah, self-importance. This, I believe, was the knockdown version of that quote.
See, that goes hand in hand with the one I really like, is that a lot of times you can't control what other people do to you, but you can control how you respond to it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
True story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Quimby's beat that into our head for 10 years here.
Mm-hmm.
So which of the big three here do you want to play with?
Let's hit healthcare first.
All right. Why you?
Why me?
Yeah.
Why would I discuss this topic?
Yeah.
Well, part of it is because I'm the chairman of the McLean Foundation, and one of the things that came up recently was OBGYN, the hospital wanting to move the maternity center up to St. Joseph's in Eureka. And there was a lot of reasons for that. And a big part of it was because of the inability to recruit a new OB to the area. Dr. Jackie Anderson is the sole provider down there now, and he's absolutely amazing.
But he likes a day off every once in a while.
I know. What's that about? So he for some reason thinks that he should get a day off now and then. Actually, Jack's been really wonderful through this process, and he continues to support that whole program down there. But what happened through this process was it really opened a lot of people's eyes, I think, in regards to the process of recruitment. And it's not just specifically for specialists, but it's for doctors in general. And so,
well, how about businesses in general? I mean, you even broaden it out, take it out wider in the funnel than just docs,
yeah,
or specialists. I mean, the same arguments are the same arguments, the same concerns and the same issues.
Well, I think, too, that a little bit. And the reason I say that is because one of the challenges with the medical field now is that you have a huge supply and demand problem. and you've got a huge demand for doctors, and you have a very little supply of them. So that's one of the biggest challenges for recruitment is it's not necessarily the area. It's not necessarily the pay scales that we offer up here. It is a little bit of both of those. But the real challenge is there's so many people trying to – there's a small pool of doctors out there and a large demand. And so
– So how about if we said the same thing with businesses in California?
Well, I think –
There's a high demand but a shrinking supply, and everybody's trying to get them to locate. And if they try to come here, they're going to run into whether it's the cultural challenges, the weather challenges, the spouses not liking the area for a prolonged period of time challenges, et cetera, et cetera. I would think that it's all kind of
connected.
The same. It's just when one of two doctors leave, oh my gosh, and we don't see 50% of businesses all blowing out of town at the same time.
Right. No, you're spot on. I mean, there's certainly the challenges that come with that. And it's not just the county, so to speak, but the state of California in general. I mean, look at how many businesses leave the state of California because of how challenging it can be to do business here just because of the increased regulation and that kind of thing. I know there's a lot of models out there. You've probably heard about New York in regards to the call it bells and whistles they've thrown out to entice new businesses to come there and open their businesses.
I like Texas.
Well, Texas
just
has
make
a great
it simple.
Model.
Delaware, Florida. I mean, a lot of these places just make it easier for people who are employed and in business or in business and then employing to be there.
They're rolling out the red carpet. They can see the forest through the trees and realize the importance of having businesses because of what that does for everything else. You know, if you have a really strong, solid business base and you have strong, solid economic development, everything else falls into place behind it. It provides jobs, which in turn keeps your real estate values up, generates income for the cities, the counties. And so it has a really big spiral effect. The citizens. That's exactly right. So, yeah, so I mean, it's certainly that is the case. And the more inviting, so to speak, that you can have for businesses and the simpler you make that process, then the higher probability that they're going to want to relocate to your county and or your city.
So folks in the River Valley didn't understand the economic equation associated with a department, with the costs associated with it?
Are you talking about OB?
Yeah, or was it a feeling of entitlement? I mean, why the surprise?
Well, I think that was mostly it. I mean, as far as nobody realized the issues with the fact that, you know, we are now down to one OB doctor and what that means for that department.
He calls the shots?
Literally.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll continue with healthcare and Jennifer Budwig.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig, health carries. Well, no, maybe not. How about advocate for the Eel River Valley healthcare?
There you go.
All right.
That sounds good.
What is realistic, Jennifer, for a couple of communities, those that comprise the area for Redwood Memorial? What should they expect? You know, you've been hanging around down there a couple of years. You certainly have got a lot of input and people talking to you as part of the foundation. What is realistic? It's kind of like that argument about police services. You live in the boonies, you can have a different standard, but you should have a different expectation. So you live outside of where the major metropolitan of Eureka is, you're not going to get quite the same level of medical care. Okay. Is that expectation realistic for most of those folks who live in the valley?
Well, I think for the most part, Redwood does a pretty great job in terms of the services they provide. One of the things that is, and this is probably something that you've had someone talk about before, but they have a critical care designation. The reason that matters is because they have this designation allows them to have a higher reimbursement rate. And going back, it was probably about 8-9 years ago, they didn't have that designation at that time.
Yeah, there was a big push to get it.
There was a big push to get it because they were running in the red, and there was some concern, you know, if we keep operating in the red, are we going to have to close down? Are we going to have to relocate services and that kind of thing? So what happened was they were able to get this critical care designation, and by getting that, they get a higher reimbursement rate. So what that's allowed them to do is, since that time, they've been able to operate in the black. So they're very financially strong, very financially solvent, have continued to do extremely well in that area. So that has allowed them, I think, to really develop some longevity. And as long as they have that critical care designation, I think that they'll continue to be able to provide the services that they have down there, if not expand.
So what is the McLean Foundation looking for?
Well, one of the things, so getting back to this OB issue, I mean, and I can understand why the hospital was looking at wanting to possibly relocate the maternity ward up there. And it was, as far as the services go, you know, Jack Anderson, bless his heart, it's hard to be a one-man show and be on call 24/7, 365 days a year. And so from the OB issue, we did create a committee at the McLean Foundation as long-term health care in the Eau River Valley, which I'm heading up. And through that process, I was able to learn a lot in regards to the process of recruitment. But the other piece of this is looking at FQHCs, which are federally qualified health centers. And one of the things that the reason that they're having so many challenges in recruitment is because a lot of these folks that are coming out of medical school, there's some benefits to them for going to work for an FQHC. The one we know locally is Open Door Clinic. That's the largest one in Humboldt County, and they've got several locations. But some of those benefits are because their reimbursement rate is much higher, so they're able to operate at a more profitable level than you would, say, a private practice. But if a medical doctor goes to work for an FQHC, some of the benefits are that they have, now they're not an employer, they're not an owner of a business, where a lot of the primary care physicians have their own practices. So not only do they not have to deal with owning a practice and I wouldn't say headaches, but the challenges that can come along with that. So hiring employees, firing employees, you know, dealing with payroll, insurance, all the other stuff that goes with that. With the FQHCs, they go to work as an employee, and then they also get student debt forgiveness. And so that's a huge advantage, because if you have a medical student comes out of college and they have a sizable student loan, then there's some debt forgiveness there that they would get by working for an FQHC that they would not get if they went into private practice. And so those are some of the advantages to medical students by going to an FQHC in comparison to buying into, say, a private practice. So the old model, unfortunately, isn't working like it used to. And that's one of the biggest problems that we're finding in terms of recruitment of medical doctors into this area, especially into the private practice field.
So they would rather work for Open Door Clinic than they would St. Joe's?
Well, doctors don't work for St. Joe's.
Because they don't have the opportunity to be an employee at St. Joe's.
Yeah, St. Joe's does not hire doctors. They either have to be through, like, the Open Doors, you're saying, or a private practice, and then they contract with the hospital. So the hospital is actually not an employer of doctors. So through this process, what we realized is that we have a much larger issue than the OB. We need to be looking at this on a broader scale. And we've had a lot of really amazing doctors that are starting to retire, and we have had a few leave the area. And because of that, we all, you know, kind of assume that if we have any problems or issues or whatever it might be, that the doctors are going to be there to take care of us. But the reality is as these primary care physicians either retire or leave, then other practices are having to pick them up. And
there's just a void in coverage or service.
Or void in service. And a really great example of that is Rosa Rangel's practice. She's actually relocating with her husband up to Seattle, Washington, and she's an internist. So she is in the process right now of leaving. Actually, she has left. But in the meantime, that was going to be 2,000 patients who did not have a doctor. And actually, and a lot of people don't even realize this, but Open Door did step in and took over her practice and have dedicated some doctors down there. So those 2,000 patients now do have a primary care physician.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop. Now I got Jennifer really fired up during the commercial break.
Thanks, Brian.
You betcha. We're not talking banking stuff, but we're talking about a couple of other things. Jennifer, certainly your position with Redwood Capital allows you to see and have access to things that normal people don't.
Present company excluded.
Oh, no, included on this one. But when we hear terms about economic development, I know I've got my definition. Mm-hmm. Part of it is economic health. Part of it is attracting. Part of it is making the cost of doing business in our area as affordable as it possibly, low risk as it possibly can be in California. So my definition, I guess it must be, I'm out on my own little limb because nobody else seems to be as aggressive or appears to be in a position of being as aggressive as I am with some of this stuff. So when you're referencing economic development in Humboldt County and positive stuff, what is it that you're looking at?
Well, and this kind of ties a little bit more back into the Ill River Valley just because I'm in the loop on some of the things happening down there. Excuse me. But one of the things that I think has been extremely beneficial is the new city manager down there. Well, he's not so new anymore. He's been there over a year, but Regan Candelaria. He's very economic.
1 year or 2 years?
Is it two now?
I think it's two since Dwayne was there.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew August, but I wasn't sure. Maybe it is
2 years
now.
I think it's
now.
Been 2 years.
Wow. So he's still kind of a newbie then.
Yeah, he's still getting his feet wet.
Yeah, yeah. But he's very much focused on economic development. And, you know, I think the nice thing, too, is Fortuna is definitely, I think, a place that can happen and happen in the right way. They've got they are the sunny city and they are the friendly city. And so they have kind of the landscape set up for it. And so having the city behind that push is significant. And there's a couple things that tie into that. One is that there's a consortium group that's gotten together. It's called 500 Plus Jobs. And that group is focused on exactly that. And the bottom line is the vision is to create a business and or business or bring industries in that will create 500 plus good paying jobs.
Just a friendly environment, or is this like streamlined permitting processes? Is this building structures so that there's just leasehold improvements, things like that? I mean, what?
The answer to that would be yes. Kind of all of it. And when I'm kind of vague on it because it's still in process of being created, and part of it's going to be dependent upon, as an example, if they go outside the area and are able to find a business that wants to relocate into Humboldt County.
You're actually talking about going outside of the area and trying to get businesses to come here?
Yes, that's exactly right. looking at the possibility of bringing businesses in that, you know, industrial and or manufacturing, you know, ones that can create really good paying jobs. And a little bit of everything, you know, some that would just be entry level all the way up to your specialist positions that would be more high paying.
So where are you guys and gals on that continuum?
I would say that we actually put the consortium together about a year ago. There was four of us that started it, and we've just added another four members to it. So we are working. Now, the other piece of this that is significant is the City of Fortuna just recently hired an economic development coordinator, which is Judy Harrison, who had been working for the City of Eureka. And Judy is really, she's just been amazing. She's hit the ground running. She's met with the city on a regular basis. She actually works out of the city. But she's got a huge punch list in terms of projects that she's working on. And a big piece of what her focus is going to be is grant writing to help with these different projects that are in process.
Is there, boy, you said that now, you got two different questions, which first. One, is there a lot of low-hanging fruit? I would look at Fortuna and think there's a lot of land that's there. Now, granted, Scotia owns that big chunk or whatever.
The mill site?
By, yeah.
Which is for sale.
But even if you exclude that and pull that away, there's still a lot of property available in Fortuna that could be developed. Is it developable?
I believe so. There's a commercial subdivision down where Tractor Supply just went in. This right on the river there, and it's got beautiful views. Those lots, that was actually completed within the last, I guess it's been about 7 to 8 months in terms of finalizing that. They were waiting for it to be annexed into the city, and now it has been. So that subdivision's complete, and those commercial lots are for sale. There's definitely development potential down there.
Certainly Judy knows her game. Get that. Why not earlier? Is this coming in as a big wow rather than, okay, we're just extending what we're doing, and that's what Fortuna's doing, that's what Eureka's doing, that's what the county is doing, that's what everybody is doing, trying to get businesses to locate here rather than doing the boutique-y onesies, twosies, and trying to build up to, I don't know, a dozen or something. It has always seemed to me like getting somebody to relocate here is going to be far easier to get a big win than it is the other way around.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And I think the vision is a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I think that the ideal situation would be to have some incubator projects where you provide the facilities and the ability for businesses to start up and or expand. And that might be just from your local folks who are wanting to grow their businesses. The second piece of that would be, you know, bringing other industries in. The reason I think that it's really gotten some legs now is because a lot of this is coming from the city manager's vision.
So it's getting support rather than
lack
of support?
Well, that support behind it, I think a lot of it is that's kind of Regan's background. You know, I mean, where he came from, economic development was a really big, significant piece of what their city was involved with.
Routine, normal,
so, yeah.
Supported,
yeah.
So all those nasty four-letter words, yeah.
So he does have that background and experience, and so he's bringing that to the table, and you know, and so that has really jump-started a lot of things, and it's got people thinking, you know, outside the box, absolutely. And so now bringing Judy on board is going to potentially help with a lot of the funding. I was talking to Regan not that long ago, and he said they have about $43 million in projects right now in Fortuna. Some are tentative, but that's kind of what they're looking at. And he was really excited about that, you know, just in terms of what that could do for that particular area down there. So, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of potential. And the other piece of that, Brian, is that Southern Humboldt was proportionately impacted higher from the standpoint of the timber industry dwindling. And so with the PL mill.
Yeah, the PL mill was not in the middle of downtown Eureka.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Right. So when you lose those really good paying jobs, I mean, that had a significant impact to the Ober River Valley. Not that it didn't to the county as a whole, but from a percentage standpoint, it was a little bit higher down there, which is also one of the main reasons they're needing to kind of backfill those positions.
KINS News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Jennifer Budwig.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig. Jennifer, part of the magic, I would think, in the particularly in Fortuna or any smaller town, is are you a baseball fan? Okay. In the 70s, there was a reliever. His kid now is a country western star, but Tug McGraw. His whole thing. You got to believe. That's it. You got to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Fortuna's beginning to believe that Fortuna be okay. Fortuna can do it instead of hearing about, you know, this closure or that closure or how many businesses on Main Street or this or that. I'm not sensing that now. Is it because of this focus on what the future could hold?
I think so, absolutely. I think that there's definitely been, you know, because there's been so many changes in terms of, I mean, as we all see, the issues with politics and with the budget cuts. And, you know, the cities are all in the same boat where they've continued to get slashes as far as their budgets go on a regular basis. A lot of hands go into that coffer. And so it's really been challenging for both city and county governments to be able to have any additional resources to try to help support additional things like economic development. It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't want to, but part of that, I think, is resources and the ability to do it.
Which means that then it's put down as a lower priority.
Mm-hmm. They're forced to.
Which is really kind of a goofy spot because there's not too many places that can develop cash flow for a city.
That's exactly right.
Economic development is one of those areas.
That's exactly right. So it's kind of like, you know, you have to put the money out there, but it will come full circle eventually, you know, because you're going to have those increased revenues from sales tax and so forth. And that's what Measure V, running out of time here, but on Measure V, that was exactly one of the things that's on the ballot for the city of Fortuna. And it's and again, getting back to the cuts that have happened over time, I was talking to Bill Doberstein a couple weeks ago, and he's the police chief down there. And he was saying that, you know, they have 20,000 calls a year now. And he was comparing it to 10 years ago, and he said they had about 12,000 10 years ago. But now they're operating with three less police officers. And so, and he said that's all because of budget cuts. And so the Measure V that's going to be on the ballot, that is certainly something that can continue to benefit police as far as the police department goes, and allow them to add additional police officers. There's a lot of things that they're planning on doing with those additional funds, but it will bring the city of Fortuna about $1.2 million additional revenues. What that measure is to add a 1 cent increase in sales tax. And so, but those funds all come back to the city of Fortuna to be used.
Thanks for coming by.
Oh,
you made it interesting.
Brian. Well, thank you.
Instead of that other guy.
Always a pleasure.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.